You're listening to The Philosopher's Note on motivation and personality. More wisdom in less time.
Hi, this is Brian. Welcome to The Philosopher's Notes on motivation and personality, with a focus on the chapter Self-Actualizing People, A Study of Psychological Health by Abraham Maslow. Abraham Maslow, the guy's a rock star, a 20th century humanistic psychologist to whom we owe thanks for the advent of the modern trend in positive psychology. Maslow coined the phrase the self-actualizing individual and developed his framework of a hierarchy of needs we ascend as we evolve in our hero's journeys. In my spiritual family tree, he occupies the great-grandfather slot, with Ralph Waldo Emerson in the great-great-great-plus-grandfather slot, and Joseph Campbell as the granddaddy, and a host of other brilliant guys occupying the spiritual daddy seat. I love the guy. In fact, his phrase, what one can be, one must be, captures my ethos in life more than any other. Think about that. What you can be, you must be. There is, in Maslow's language, a need you have, and we all have, to self-actualize, to live at your highest potential, and to express your latent potentialities. If you don't fulfill this need, it's like depriving your soul of oxygen. Now, although you may not gasp as noticeably as you would if your more basic need of physical oxygen were deprived, you will experience equally, albeit more subtle, painful symptoms, which, of course, unfortunately, are typically medicated with TV, alcohol, complaining, asinine conversations, antidepressants, etc. Alrighty, so in this note, we're going to focus on one particular chapter in Maslow's academic-ish book, Motivation and Personality. The chapter is called Self-Actualizing People, A Study of Psychological Health, in which he identifies the 19 characteristics of his self-actualizing individual. We'll briefly look at all 19 of these characteristics at the end of the note. If you'd like a more thorough look at all 19, check out the book or the quotes on philosophersnotes.com. For now, let's dive into some big ideas. Ready? Let's jump in. All right, the first big idea is the self-actualizer. Quote, musicians must make music. Artists must paint. Poets must write if they are to be ultimately at peace with themselves. What human beings can be, they must be. They must be true to their own nature. This need we may call self-actualization. It refers to man's desire for self-fulfillment, namely, to the tendency for him to become actually in what he is potentially, to become everything one is capable of becoming. End quote. As I mentioned, it's definitely worth repeating, Maslow believed that the need to grow, to reach our potential, and to self-actualize is an absolutely fundamental need. According to Maslow, this need to actualize is not a wish or a desire or a sure would be nice to have kind of thing. It's a need, like that need we have for oxygen. Now, to the extent that we've taken care of our more basic needs and we're not satisfying this need to self-actualize, we're going to live with anxiety, regret, and disillusionment, period. Now, the specific manifestation of our self-actualizing process is obviously unique and varies greatly from person to person. As Maslow points out, in one individual, it may, quote, take the form of the desire to be an excellent parent. In another, it may be expressed athletically. And in still another, it may be expressed in painting pictures or in inventing things, end quote. However, in all cases, the question remains, what must you be? All right, the next big idea is growth or safety. So Maslow said that in any given moment, we have two options, to step forward into growth or to step back into safety. I love that. So I like to think of it this way. We wake up in the morning. Is our first act a step forward, which would be something like we get up immediately, we say the mantra we committed to saying, whatever. Or do we step back into safety, staying in bed, hitting snooze, etc.? Plus one if you stepped forward, minus one if you stepped backward. So after that first act or thought or whatever, you're either at plus one or minus one. Yeah? All right. And in the note, I draw a horizontal line. I put zero in the middle, plus one, plus two, plus three, all the way up to plus 100 on the right. And then on the left, minus one, minus two, minus three, all the way to negative 100. Right? So imagine that. And then notice that the difference between where you could be and where you actually are is actually 2 units apart, not one. So if you should have been at plus one and you're at negative one, that's 2 units apart. Just a quick note. Okay, so how about the next moment? You had your first moment in the morning. Did you go forward or back? Now, what about the next one? Forward or back? Forward or back? Forward or back? Moment to moment to moment. You can choose. Are you going to go forward into growth or back into safety? Now, fast forward to the end of that day. Where are you? Are you at plus 25,000 or are you at minus 25,000? Pay attention, because the weight of those negative numbers is going to make it hard for you to sleep well. In fact, why do you think people crack open the beer, turn on the TV, yell at their spouse and kids, and generally act like a weenie too often at the end of the day? Exactly. Too many steps in the wrong direction. Their soul knows they are capable of so much more. Unfortunately, rather than address it through more constructive behavior, too often we take it out on others and blame, criticize, etc. Ick. The quickest way to live a life of bliss, step forward, moment to moment to moment. All right, the next big idea is no one's perfect. Not even you. Quote, there are no perfect human beings. Persons can be found who are good, very good indeed, in fact, great. There do in fact exist creators, seers, sages, saints, shakers and movers, even if they are uncommon and do not come by the dozen. And yet these very same people can at times be boring, irritating, petulant, selfish, angry, or depressed. To avoid disillusionment with human nature, we must first give up our illusions about it. End quote. Rumi reminds us, quote, there is no worse sickness for the soul, O you who are proud, than this pretense of perfection. End quote. No one's perfect. Yes, that includes you and me and, well, everyone. Anthony DeMello has a great line that helped me out here. He said something along the lines of, I'm screwed up, you're screwed up, now let's talk. Isn't that awesome? There's something magical that happens when we quit pretending that we are or need to be perfect. The facades can come down and we can have a real interaction with someone. Really powerful stuff. So how can you embrace your imperfection a little more today? Can you relax a little more? Let go of the tight grip on the impulse to always need to come across as perfect, because if someone sees you're not perfect, then oh my God, what will happen? Shoo, me too. We all can afford to laugh a little more and take ourselves just a little less seriously, huh? Again, relax and remember, there are no perfect human beings. The next big idea is thank you. Maslow believed that, quote, life could be vastly improved if we could count our blessings as self-actualizing people can and do, and if we could retain their constant sense of good fortune and gratitude for it, end quote. A practical example for the next time you're stuck in traffic. Rather than allow your frustration to grow, why not pause for a moment and appreciate the fact that you're even sitting in a car? It's quite a wonderful invention that allows you to move at remarkable speeds, when not in traffic, of course, without any effort on your part, and certainly worthy of gratitude, no? So as you get tempted to complain about the traffic, why not think about the genius and hard work that went into creating the first automobiles, and the labor that went into building your car and the road you're driving on, etc.? Or get upset. Your call. My suggestion is, here's to a little more gratitude for the little things that are so easy to take for granted. And never forget that the wealthiest king, only a few centuries ago, didn't have half the material pleasures and luxuries that we enjoy. All right, the next big idea is your extended family. Quote, self-actualizing people have a deep feeling of identification, sympathy, and affection for human beings in general. They feel kinship and connection, as if all people were members of a single family. End quote. How's your family? Not that one. I'm talking about the big one. Yeah, that one. And while we're enjoying the great big shiny happy family of ours, let's take a moment to reflect on the interconnectedness of everyone in the world. So the next one is counting our blessings. Quote, getting used to our blessings is one of the most important non-evil generators of human evil, tragedy, and suffering. End quote. So here's a ritual of mine. Often when I pay a bill or buy something or enjoy a meal, I pause for a moment to appreciate the incredible array of people who made that experience possible for me. Think about it the next time you sit down for a meal. Look at the spoon or fork or knife you're using. How did it get there on that table of yours? And how did the table get there? And the floor? And we can go on and on and on. But contemplate for a minute or two just who was involved in getting that spoon to you. Imagine the interconnected web of cooperating people who produced the raw materials, then those who shipped them to the manufacturer, then those who created it, and all those who financed all that activity to begin with. Then, of course, we need to get it from the manufacturer to the store where you bought it. Who built the trucks and the boats and the planes and the trains that were used to ship it? And on and on and on and on. It is truly staggering when we see just how fortunate we are to have so many people supporting us in every single moment of our lives. We are so incredibly blessed, and it is so incredibly easy to forget how fortunate we are and just how much we depend on the love and service of others to do the most basic things in life. Einstein said, quote, a human being is part of the whole, called by us universe. A part limited in time and space. He experiences himself, his thoughts and feelings as something separated from the rest, a kind of optical delusion of his consciousness. This delusion is a kind of prison for us, restricting us to our personal desires and to affection for a few persons nearest us. Our task must be to free ourselves from this prison. End quote. While Marcus Aurelius, the second century Roman Stoic philosopher and Roman emperor, said, and you can see the notes on him for Meditations, his great book, he says, quote, think often of the bond that unites all things in the universe and their dependence on one another. So I echo Aurelius's mojo and say, think often of the bond that unites all things in the universe and their dependence on one another. How can you do that a little or maybe even a lot more today? The next big idea is know thyself. Whereas the average individuals, quote, often have not the slightest idea of what they are, of what they want, of what their own opinions are, self-actualizing individuals have superior awareness of their own impulses, desires, opinions, and subjective reactions in general. End quote. So there's that self-awareness again. We hit this again and again and again and again. From Martin Seligman to James Allen to Marcus Aurelius to Buddha and Krishna and every other great teacher we profile. So how about 10 questions for a special date between you and your journal? And again, you can get these from the note if you want to go back and print them out and then use these as a guide for some journaling. I highly recommend you do. Question number one, if you were absolutely guaranteed to succeed, what would you dare to do? What are you most passionate about? And while you're listening to this, you might want to press pause and really take some time and contemplate this while you're running or juicing or cleaning the place or driving to work or whatever you're doing, working out. All right, so if you were absolutely guaranteed to succeed, what would you dare to do? What are you most passionate about? What are your greatest strengths? How can you get paid doing what you love? When, what circumstances, around what people, do you feel most alive? What were your five greatest accomplishments over the last 5 years? What will your five greatest accomplishments over the next 5 years be? How about the next 25 years? and how can you best share your gifts with the world? What would you do if you weren't afraid? One of my favorite questions. And what other questions should you be asking yourself? Those are awesome journal exercises. I don't know if you journal, but it's one of my absolute fundamental practices. And if I look at how I'm so blessed to get paid to do what I do, which is essentially read and write and share this wisdom with you and lots of other people, one of the major reasons is because I've filled up dozens and dozens and dozens of journals in my life. I'm always asking and answering these questions. Literally every morning I sit down and go through my values, what I stand for, what I want to see created in my life. And I highly recommend you invest in a nice journal that you like and open it up, crack it open once a day, even if it's just for a minute or two, but become really good friends with your journal. And those are some great questions. And in each of these notes, I have, you know, so many different questions I'm posing, really trying to make it practical for you and help you with that self-awareness. So let's go to the final big idea. Then we're going to look at the 19 characteristics of the self-actualizer. So how about this big idea? Plunge in. Quote, "It seems that the necessary thing to do is not to fear mistakes, to plunge in, to do the best that one can, hoping to learn enough from blunders to correct them eventually." End quote. I love that. So what are you waiting for? Too often we can get caught up in wondering and planning 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 and never take action. Well, just plunge in. You're going to make mistakes. That's okay. Go for it. So I'm kind of nudging you right now and pushing you toward that which your highest self is calling you toward. So plunge in, pretty please. All right, so that's the basic part of the note. I've got a PS here which says, "Friendly self-actualizer travel warning. Dr. Maslow advises, quote, if you deliberately plan on being less than you are capable of being, then I warn you," this is Maslow, "that you'll be unhappy for the rest of your life." That's pretty powerful. So go for it. All right, and here are those 19 characteristics of the self-actualizer I've been promising you. And again, his chapter from the book that I love goes into detail on these 19 characteristics. And he studied some of the greatest people alive in his era and came up with these attributes. So number one, perception of reality. These individuals, the self-actualizers, tend to have, quote, "a superior relationship with reality and are generally unthreatened and unfrightened by the unknown. In fact, they accept it, are comfortable with it, and often are even more attracted by it than by the known. They not only tolerate the ambiguous and unstructured, they like it." Number two, acceptance. "Even the normal member," this is a quote, "of our culture feels unnecessarily guilty or ashamed about too many things and has anxiety in too many situations. Our healthy individuals find it possible to accept themselves and their nature without chagrin or complaint, or for that matter, without even thinking about the matter that much." Number three, spontaneity. "The behavior of the self-actualizing individual is marked by simplicity and naturalness, and by lack of artificiality or straining for effect." Number four, problem centering. Self-actualizers customarily have some mission in life. Number five, solitude. Self-actualizing individuals positively like solitude and privacy to a definite greater degree than the average person. Number six, autonomy. They have become strong enough to be independent of the good opinion of other people, or even of their affection. The honors, the status, the rewards, the popularity, the prestige, and the love they can bestow must have become less important than self-development and inner growth. Number seven, fresh appreciation. Self-actualizing people have the wonderful capacity to appreciate again and again, freshly and naively, the basic goods of life with awe, pleasure, wonder, and even ecstasy, however stale these experiences may have become to others. Number eight, peak experiences. This has been called flow or even being in the zone in modern times. But whatever you want to call it, self-actualizers tend to experience it more than average. All right, number 9, human kinship. Quote, self-actualizing people have a deep feeling of identification, sympathy, and affection for human beings in general. They feel kinship and connection as if all people were members of a single family. Self-actualizing individuals have a genuine desire to help the human race. Number 10, humility and respect. All of Maslow's subjects may be said to be democratic people in the deepest sense. This is a quote. The rest of these will all be quotes. They can be friendly with anyone of suitable character, regardless of class, education, political belief, race, or color. As a matter of fact, it often seems as if they are not aware of these differences, which are, for the average person, so obvious and so important. Number 11, interpersonal relationships. Self-actualizing people have these especially deep ties with rather few individuals. Their circle of friends is rather small. The ones that they love profoundly are few in number. Number 12, ethics. They do right and do not do wrong. Needless to say, their notions of right and wrong and of good and evil are often not the conventional ones. Number 13, means and ends. They are fixed on ends rather than on means, and means are quite definitely subordinated to these ends. Number 14, humor. They do not consider funny what the average person considers to be funny. Thus, they do not laugh at hostile humor, making people laugh by hurting someone, or superiority humor, laughing at someone else's inferiority, or authority rebellion humor, the unfunny, Oedipal, or smutty joke. Creativity, number 15. This is a universal characteristic of all the people studied or observed. There is no exception. Number 16, resistance to enculturation. Of all of them, it may be said that in a certain profound and meaningful sense, they resist enculturation and maintain a certain inner detachment from the culture in which they are immersed. Number 17, imperfections. Actualizers show many of the lesser human failings. They too are equipped with silly, wasteful, or thoughtless habits. They can be boring, stubborn, irritating. They are by no means free from a rather superficial vanity, pride, partiality to their own productions, family, friends, and children. Temper outbursts are not rare. Number 18, values. A firm foundation for a value system is automatically furnished to self-actualizers by their philosophic acceptance of the nature of self, of human nature, of much of social life, and of nature and physical reality. And finally, number 19, resolution of dichotomies. The dichotomy between selfishness and unselfishness disappears altogether in healthy people, because in principle, every act is both selfish and unselfish. Super cool. So those are the 19 characteristics of the self-actualizing individual as per Maslow in his chapter on healthy individuals. So Abraham Maslow was born on April 1st, 1908 and passed away in 1970. He was an American psychologist known for his hierarchy of needs and theories on the self-actualizing individual. Plus, I say, he just seems like the kind of guy with whom you'd want to hang out. Classic question, if you could hang out with five people, dead or alive, who would you pick? I'd definitely pick Maslow as one of them. He was born and raised in Brooklyn, New York, and studied such luminaries as Albert Einstein and Eleanor Roosevelt in his quest to understand the upper thresholds of human potential. So that's Maslow. And if you like this note, I think you'll like the note on authentic happiness, on man's search for meaning, on Nietzsche's Thus Spoke Zarathustra, and on a great book called The Gifted Adult. You can find all those in the member section. They're all in the top 25. So how about some quotes? These are all from Maslow. Quote, self-actualizing individuals have a genuine desire to help the human race. For them, motivation is just character growth, character expression, maturation, and development. In a word, self-actualization. Quote, they attempt to grow to perfection and to develop more and more fully their own style. And finally, they have become strong enough to be independent of the good opinion of other people, or even of their affection, the honors, the status, the rewards, the popularity, the prestige, and the love they can bestow must have become less important than self-development and inner growth. So there's a quick look at Motivation and Personality. If you want the book, it's like about an $80 academic-like book. We just covered the chapter on self-actualizing people, a study of psychological health. The whole book is amazing. I highly recommend it if this resonates with you. Again, Abraham Maslow, my great-great-grandfather. Is that where he is? No, he's in the great-grandfather slot. hope you enjoyed. Really appreciate sharing it with you. Look forward to sharing more, and have a fantastic day. See ya.
We hope you enjoyed this Philosopher's Note. Please go to www.philosophersnotes.com to download more.